Thank you for tonight. I thank you that you are here tonight. I thank you that we could worship you tonight for the God that you are. And I thank you, God, for the impartation that you're going to make tonight. And I thank you, God, that you will use me to spread the seed in the ground that has been fertilized by you already. Thank you for the opportunities, and thank you, God, for just being in our midst. In Jesus' name. All right, people, I'm an 80s child. I'm talking about an 80s child. I love 80s music. Well, I used to. In my house, we always listened to 80s music. Church music was a no-go because I wasn't saved. I mean, I was a worldly man. And I love 80s. Good music. All the good music comes from there. If you listen to any music today, it comes from the 80s. Hence my title for my sermon, Twisting My Sobriety, was a lady with the name of Danita Tikaram. We sang that song. It was a good song. I loved the words. And one day I went and I just tried to figure out what this Twisting My Sobriety meant. Why didn't you write about this? Now, the first couple of words, or the first couple of words in the song is, all God's children needs traveling shoes, which is apparently a title of a book of a lady who was wanting to go back to America from Ghana, and then later on return back to Africa. She wanted to go back to her roots. But Anita said the reason why she wrote the song is she reckons the world gives you many twists. As you grow older and as you grow up, you know, we need to please the world. We need to please people alongside, people we meet. We need to please family members. We need to add a twist of some sorts to gain acknowledgement of people. She says she had that more when she was 18 and coming to adolescence. She had more of that. I felt in my life I had it up until the age of 42, which was about 3 years ago, when I met God properly, if I can say that. And in my life also, I mean, I started smoking, got a bad habit. I started drinking. I'm not condemning anyone who smokes and drinks. Please, hear me out. I stopped smoking because I serve Almighty God. 3 weeks after God touched me, I put my cigarettes down, and I haven't touched a cigarette since. It took me about a year after that to let whiskey go out the back door. And I'm glad it happened. I'm glad I took that twist and I changed it to another twist. The other twist in my life now is God. Everything I do in my life, I try to spice it with a touch of God or a touch of biblical something. Anything that gives me substance in my life. Now, according to Britannica, they say a habit is an act performed by a person that is built by repetition to the point where the person is not aware they do it, whereas an addiction is an extreme form of habit, but the person has no control over the act. It becomes a need of the body. Thus, put it in perspective, anything that takes control of us is an addiction. Anything that changes our lives in such a way that we cannot, or we lack the ability to change it, to change back to the Yuri or the whoever, that's an addiction. And let's make it a little bit lighter. Whom of you, when you were younger, has ever fallen asleep in a car? When you were children. Okay, whom of you have children now who also likes to fall asleep in the car? Okay, good. Whom of you can remember waking up in bed the next morning in pajamas after falling asleep in a car? Yes, thank you. Are we the only ones here? Shame. It's a good feeling. It really is an awesome feeling. But that to me is almost a good forebilt example of God's grace or of grace. You see, why I say that is even today in our lives, okay? Okay, let me rewind, make it simpler. I fall asleep in this clothes. I wake up in my pajamas over there. I fell asleep here. Now I'm awake here in pajamas, confused out of my mind because I don't know how I got here. And even today in life, the same thing happens. When you meet God or meet Jesus for the first time, He takes you from here to there. He takes you from where you are now to where you want to be, or even better, where He wants you to be. He takes you and changes you, your apparel and your clothing, which you have on the world, and takes you to this point here and clothes you with His grace and with His love. That's the way I see. The reason why we are on this earth, it's quite simple. I think it's because God has an assignment for each and every one of us. You see, we were made for a purpose, with a purpose. If we look at Noah, for argument's sake, Genesis 6 verse 9 says, and this is the account of Noah's family. Noah was a man found blameless in God's eyes. If God had to write that about me, I don't think He'd say I was blameless. I don't think He would say I was a righteous man. I hope He would say that today, but I doubt it very much. Because every day I carry sin with me. Every day, something in my past still reminds me of something I did. Or still comes and haunts me in my life today. Noah, well, I used to thought he was an awesome oak because God used him to build an ark, probably the biggest boat ever built. But I don't think Noah was that awesome anymore. You see, because Noah got drunk after he got out of the ark. And Noah, being drunk, also naked. And his younger son laughed at him and made fun of him. You know, the weird thing is, people, there are many types of sins we carry with us. I used to be a drunk. I used to be a smoker. I used to watch pornography. I was also an addict or addicted to anger, to hatred, to jealousy. I was addicted to offense. Oh, please don't say anything about me because I'm going to take offense. Which also, to me, is quite weird. Why do you want to take something which doesn't belong to you? Why are we taking offense nowadays? If you don't want it, don't take it. But we are inclined and we are so protected, or no, not protected, we are so worried about what that person will think about me, what that person will say about me. Instead of just living your life, you don't have to do anything for anyone. What you need to do is give your life to God in every substance or in everything you do. I know you've heard this sermon before. I know you know this. But if I walk around, I visit church quite often. I visit people quite often. Why do we put on masks and faces? Why are we so scared of each other or afraid of each other? Why can't we just love each other? Like James 3 verse 16 says. And James 3 says, by this we know love. And because you gave your life for us, in the same way we ought to give our lives for our brothers. Why are we not giving our lives for our brothers? Why are we not uplifting each other? Why are we not serving each other? I'm glad my life changed 3 years ago. You know, people, I know some of you have heard this story before, and some of you have heard my life story. If I look at some of my family members, I'm worried for them. I'm not saying I'm better, please. I wish I could say that. Not at all. But I'm worried for some of my family members. One of them is my mother. I say this with the utmost of respect. My mother, some of you know, has recently been diagnosed with large B-cell lymphoma cancer. And the other day I cried and I prayed and I said, if this is the only way that my mother will gain her salvation from getting cancer, then I'm glad she's got cancer. And excuse me if you don't like that. But the Bible says we must serve God in the good times as well as in the bad times. You know why? Because if my mother gets saved while having cancer, what a testimony she will not have. And that is what life is about. We are supposed to tell people our story, especially the world, not each other. Yeah, we can tell each other as well, because when you are down, I look at you and say, hey, but this happened to me. Maybe that'll help him. I don't know. But we need to go out into the world, at workplace, at school, wherever we are. Tell your story. What changed your life? What most people do not realize is that when you have a certain weakness which you entertain, and you give a prolonged attention, thank you, my dear, attention to it. The problem is, there are demons in the spiritual realm which we actually feed. And to get them out of our system becomes more difficult. And that is why we need to be in constant prayer. We need to pray every day, people, not only for salvation, but we need to pray against sin. We need to pray against all kinds of wrongs in our lives. You know why? Because in the end, it's not about us, it's about God. And the more we pray and the more we acknowledge Him for who He is, the more blessed you will be. And if you don't want to believe me, let me tell you a quick story about tithing. When I met God for the first time, I never tithed. Never, ever, 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 ever. I gave my, when I sat in church, my 50 rand or 100 rand, whatever I gave. But tithing to me was a good deed. You walk in the street and you see a guy begging for money and you give him 5 rand, that's tithing, cool. But that's not tithing. The Bible says clearly you must give 10% of your first fruits. I started doing that in 3 years ago, which is 2014, eh? Yeah. In the end of June. I don't know how I was going to survive. Because that amount of money out of my budget, it just can't. But I trusted God. And for some weird, unexplainable reason, it was the first month in my life where I had money left in my account at the end of the month. And it was not because I was more stingy or not because I was more whatever. And if you don't want to believe me, I will show you my bank accounts as I have them all filed here. My trek finally arrived from Swakopmund, so I can show you everything. It was the first time in my life where I had 3 grand left in my account. And that is by the grace of God. So that's just an extra for you guys. But I'll talk about tithing at another stage. You see, the whole thing is when we pray, when you meet Jesus for the first time, you cannot but stay the same. But change. You can't stay the same. You have to change. Because God changes lives. Which brings me to my sermon. But before I go there, I just want to pray for us. Father, I know you are here tonight. And I don't know why I have this heavy heaviness on my heart tonight. But I feel that there are people that needs to hear this, that needs to hear this sermon. Because God, in your name, there is salvation. And in your name, God, there is grace. In your name, God, there is life. And there's life in abundance. God, because you say in John 10, that you came to give life and give life in abundance, Father, and I cling to that every day, and I know that because my life is abundantly full of you. And the blessings in my life, I cannot stop because you bless me every day, and I thank you for that. Father, I pray that tonight you will touch hearts. Father, and I pray that every person here tonight will be blessed in abundance by your grace and by your love. And when they go out here tonight, that they will be filled up with all your grace and all your love. Father, and I pray that when they go out here tonight, they will have boldness in them. Because God, the best place to be is at the point of salvation. And I pray that we will remain there. In Jesus' name. All right, people, I'm going to become a bit more lively now, I promise. Okay. I'm talking about the healing by the pool, John 5. Now, I'm doing this out of the NIV, and the reason why I'm doing this out of the NIV is, we'll see whether you can pick it up. Okay. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. And what I'm going to do is, like I do always, I'm going to give a verse and I'm going to explain to you what the verse is all about, just so we are on the same page, okay? Now, on the Hebrew calendar, there are 7 festivals a year, so it was a party. They were dancing and singing and celebrating the greatness of God, okay? Because they had to. Now, there's 7 festivals in a year. Okay, well, let me first read. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which is Aramaic, is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed, and they waited for the moving of waters. And just imagine this with me quickly. There's a pool there, and there are a whole bunch of people lying around the pool. Now there can be 10, 5, 100, 500, 1,000, I don't know. The Bible says a great number of disabled people. But now you must remember, this disabled people could have been any kind of disability. Okay? And they were waiting to be healed. And you get a chance only when the water is stirred. And when the water is stirred, you must quickly run and get in. But if you can't run or you can't walk, no one can put you in. So you can't get healed. So someone has to carry you. So if you're not in line to be healed, you're going to lie there. Now, if you look at the word blind, you look at the word paralyzed, and you look at the word lame, in today's life, let's look at blind. Blind is not in the sense of I cannot see. Blind is, as you all probably guessed, you are blind to see, and that person then needs your help. You are blind to see that you need to go pray for that guy in your office. You are blind to see the problems one of your colleagues probably are facing. You are blind for anything. Anything that you don't want to see, put it that way. Then you get lame. Lame. You are in church. But hey, there's enough guys there serving, so I don't need to serve there. I can sit here and watch whatever. And sorry, but I'm an pastor, so I can be more direct. You are lame because you don't want to walk or go to church, for argument's sake. You are lame, various reasons. And then paralyzed. Paralyzed because it's too much of a burden to walk out in the streets. Or even with your friends, and tell them what God has done for you. You're too paralyzed to go to work and in your office, for argument's sake, walk to someone whom you can see needs love or help or anything of some sorts. Or you're just too paralyzed because life has thrown you a whole bunch of lemons. Life is hard, people. I know life is hard. So you can get paralyzed from people hurting you as well. You can get lame from that as well. Even blind. Because life, people are harsh. We all know that. People like walking over each other. The world teaches us that. Remember, you must become the best in what you do. Remember to be first. Remember to run like hell and get there first, or whatever they teach you nowadays. But that is what life is about. That is what the world teaches us. And that can leave a lot of people paralyzed. That can leave a lot of people lame and blind. I was there. I ran that race. And I won't say I didn't enjoy it. People, listen to me clearly. I enjoyed it back then. I had loads of money. I had everything I wanted. Until a friend of mine, whom I trusted and thought he was a friend, took everything from me. My house, my car, my clothes, the clothes I kept, etc. Luckily, my wife and my kid was born at that same stage as well. But that is what money does to people. You know, and Many of us, and I used it as well, put on this face. When you go to church, hey, I'm happy, and oh, praise God, yes, we are there. But when you walk out the door, you are still hurt. Why? Because you don't get the healing that you are supposed to get when you go to church. I'm not dissing at church, people. Listen to me clearly. I love this church. I love Shofar. I love the name Shofar. And the reason why is because this is where, at the church, where I met God. And I'll say it a million times more. You might get sick and tired of hearing it, but I will continue saying it. Because it's where my life changed. And I'm thankful in many, 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 many ways for that, because that happened. Okay, let me tell you. Verse 4 in the NIV, if you go read it up, you'll see verse 4 has been left out of the Bible. It's at the bottom of the page as a commentary. You can go read it, but I'll read it for you if I can find it. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had, which I said earlier. Now, the reason apparently why they took it out of the NIV is because the scholars, the clever people, they reckon that that angel of the Lord was not really an angel of the Lord, because nowhere in Scripture is that text repeated. No one else points to that in the Bible, not in Hebrew, I don't know, in Greek, but the scholars went and they made a full study, and they said what they think happened there is, like in today's society, money makes the world go round. So what they did was, they put a guy there, and if you are sick, you pay money, and then you can go into the water. And the more money you pay, then the sooner you'll get to the water, or the more help you will get. Now, it's not me saying this. This is scholars. I don't study this. It's something that I read as well, because I found the NIV Bible in Swakopmund, which someone gave to me. Well, I didn't find it. Someone gave it to me. And I started reading this, and I saw that the verse was left out. I went to my Afrikaans Bible, so but hang on, here the verse still is, and that's why I went to go look it up and saw this. And to me, it was quite interesting, because if you read what the scholars say, it makes sense. It does make sense, because I mean, those days the Pharisees, to them, they were according to that law. Thank you. Sorry, people, when I pack my English away on a Friday evening, I only open again on the Monday morning. But they say, well, the Pharisees were obviously law-abiding citizens. They believed that you are not allowed to do this, but do this, and do not do that, but do that. And this, to them, was to make money, because the Pharisees liked money. Verse 5. One who has been there had been an invalid for 38 years. Now, for 38 years times 7, there were 7 such parties going on while he was lying there. Now, imagine, people, you lying, you want to praise God, even here in church. Let's take this scenario for you standing there, or you're sitting there. Next door to you, the people, like tonight was awesome, worshiping God. But inside of you, you are paralyzed, or you are blind because you took offense from someone, or someone said something that you didn't like, or your wife scolded you for something you did not do, or whatever reason you can have. Next door to you, that person is so happy, he's worshiping and praising God. There you are sitting, you cannot do that. This guy had to lie there for 38 years, listening to people praising and worshiping God 7 times a year, and he couldn't do anything. He couldn't get healed, he couldn't get touched, nothing. It's amazing. And this verse, if you put it into perspective, can really change our lives. And I really hope that tonight would be just an eye-opener to some of you. The same way it opened up my eyes. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been there in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" And when I read this for the first time a couple of months ago, the first time it dawned upon me, Jesus asked him, "Do you want to get well?" He didn't ask God. He didn't get up and say, "Jesus, please heal me," when you saw him. Nothing. Jesus walked to him and he asked him, "Do you want to get well? Do you want to be saved from the paralyzed heart you have or the blind eyes you have?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And this verse changed my life or the way I saw. You see, there it says, "Sir." Not Lord, not Rabbi. "Sir." Which means that he didn't know Jesus. He didn't have a clue who this man was standing there. And the best part is, let's say there was 100 people lying by the pool. Jesus came in by the door and he and he walked straight to that man there. And he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" And this man completely flabbergasted, "Sir, I can't get well because no one wants to help me to the pool." How many of us, or how many people are there out there in the world, for argument's sake, also looking and no one helps them? How many of us are sitting here, but we are too afraid? You see, I love accountability partners. I've said it before. I also love cell groups. My prayer is that in your cell groups, you will learn to trust each other in such a way that you will become united, as our dance is this year, unity. So united that when he has a problem, someone in his cell will see he has a problem and help that man up in his feet immediately. Not any help you, but I'll pray for you. I'll come back to you. But good luck on that one. We don't want that. We need to pray for each other right then. We need to start in cell groups, and it needs to overflow into this building. And from this building, it needs to overflow to our workplaces, to our school places, to wherever we walk. Because in the same way, or in this way, I need to lay my life down for my brother. Same with accountability partner. If you don't have one, find one. And find one soon. Because that partner will help you change your life. That partner will build you up. That partner will take you from here to there. And that is where we all want to be, is there. This is where Christ is as well. Your accountability partner will pray for you. I'm almost done, people. I promise. Then Jesus said to him, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. So basically, Jesus is telling us to stop being blind, stop being paralyzed, and stop being lame. You know why? Because my grace is sufficient. You know why? Because I died for your sins. You know why? Because I'm a father. If you have a problem as a child, you go to your father. Your father is always there. Even the Bible tells us your father will not give you a piece of rock if you ask him for a piece of bread. No, he'll give you a piece of bread. And the same it is with God. If you go to your knees and you pray to God, he will not give you something that you don't want. He will give you your heart's desire. But then your desires need to be pure. And then we have to get this lameness and this blindness and this paralyzed life of ours in order. We don't need to be lame. We don't need to be blind. We don't need to be paralyzed. Why? Because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. We sang that tonight. Hallelujah. Beautiful, stunning words. Glory to God Almighty. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. He didn't even wait. Picked up his mat and off he went. Later in scripture, they said the Pharisees saw him and they told him, hey, you can't carry your mat. It's a sin. And he said, but the man who healed me told me to pick up my mat and walk. And they asked him, who? He said, I don't know. I don't know the man from a bar. I don't know who he was. Still, the man hasn't got a clue. Only later, Jesus met up with him and he told him, now do not sin anymore. So, all God is telling us in that scripture, when he's not talking to a healed man by the pool, people, he's talking to us. He's telling you that if you did take offense for some other reason, it's fine. You need to have probably taken it. I don't know why. If you are angry about something, it's fine. I still love you. If you are bitter about something, it's fine. I still love you. But come to me so I can give you the peace that you need to carry on with your life. So that you don't have to be in bondage the whole time. It's not the nicest feeling. It's not lucky to sit there with a heart that's cramped with stress the whole time. It's all Jesus is asking. When we meet Jesus and we hear his voice and receive what he says, we will continue to obey. He obeyed. Jesus said to him, get up, take your mat and walk. And he did that. Why? Because God is about living an abundant life. John 10:10 says, I came to give life and I came to give life in abundance. Life is hard, people. But it does change. It does get better. As I said earlier, I will say it again. Mine changed 3 years ago. All the offense I had in me is really gone. I don't have an offensive heart anymore. I can say that with all utmost honesty. I do get angry, especially at taxis. I'm still working on that. But I get angry because I'm a human being. I wish I was perfect. Because then I wouldn't be standing here, then I would have been up there. What I really want for each and every one of you is to have life filled with so much love that you will not be able to contain it. Filled with so much grace that you would explode. And you would experience God in such a way. People that you would give him the glory that we need to give him. And we would uplift him into the full extent. Because he is an almighty God. I don't have my Bible here. My Bible is on my cell phone. So I can't show you my cell phone. Because then you'll think I'll be vinchat because I'll be showing my cell phone. But that's not the reason why. But the Word of God, every word in that Bible, from in Genesis 1, right to, I think, Amen, is the last word in Revelations. Every single word in that Bible is true. And if you don't believe it, or if it is something you don't believe in, then I want you here tonight. So I can pray for you. But every word in that Bible is true. It took me 42 years to realize that. 3 years from doing Bible school 1 and 2, and this year 3, doing encounters 1, very important. Encounter 2, very important. F3, important. F4, F5, I don't know how many Fs there are. Theo will know more than me. Do them, people. It releases you from so many things, so many worldly things, and it opens your life to so much grace and abundance in everything from God. Because you learn to rely on Him and not on ourselves. Because I cannot rely on myself, I'm too stupid. I cannot rely on any other person in here, no offense, but you don't have the power to give me what God is busy giving me. I really hope that you will leave tonight with a different perspective of John 5. Go and read John 5 again. And if you have any questions, please come and ask me afterwards or later on. Phone me if you want to. But we need to stop lying by the pool. And we need to get up. We need to stop taking offense from people. We need to stop worrying Stop being bitter. Stop being jealous. Stop everything that's from the world. Stop the anxiety. Stop the loneliness. I know loneliness is not nice. But if you're heartbroken because of loneliness, don't be. I didn't have a father for many, many years until I met God. I know it sounds whatever way you think it sounds. And God is now my Father, and everything I ask of Him, He gives me. And everything that bothered me in my life, I pray to Him, He has released me from it. Father, I want to pray and I want to thank You for tonight. I want to thank You, God, that You used me as an instrument. Because You taught, God, it wasn't me who taught. But Father, the love that we have for You is probably not a percentage of the love that You have for us. Because You loved us so much that You sent Your only Son to be slaughtered for us. Father, I want to pray against all worldly iniquities. I want to pray against anxiety. I want to pray against bitterness and loneliness. I want to pray against everything that is not from You. I want to pray, God, against anger and hatred and violence. Father, I pray that the love that You have for us will start to manifest in our lives, not only for You, but for each other, so that You may be exalted in every step we take. Is any one of you